Evan Gifford had been keeping watch and sounded the alarm.
They're coming!
He came running up from the corrals.
Looks like a bunch of them.
Rusty had seen them from the porch. He squinted.
I count five. You sure it's the Bascoms?
That's Corey in the lead. I never saw the rest of his family.
The only rider Rusty could recognize was Bessie Bascom, sitting straight as a fence post on a side saddle. James and Preacher Webb and Andy came out of the house. James gave the situation a quick study.
I'm staying here and wait for them. I wish the rest of you would scatter the way we talked about.
He glanced back at Webb.
Preacher, it might be better if you stayed in yonder with Mama and the girls.
Maybe I can talk some common sense to them.
I doubt as they'd pay attention to it. If you're gonna stay out here with me, you best fetch a gun. That way maybe they'll be more willing to listen to the gospel.
Evan trotted to his own house. Geneva came out onto the porch. He waved her back inside and took a position at the corner. Andy moved out to stand beside the woodpile. Checking the load in his rifle, Rusty walked to the corner of the barn and stepped back out of sight. If the Bascoms rode all the way up to the main house, they would be covered from all sides. From his vantage point, Rusty studied the faces. He already knew Bessie Bascom's. Her square jaw was firmly set, her eyes fierce like a hawk's. In comparison, her son's looked almost benign. Rusty decided the one riding closest to Bessie must be Corey, for he appeared a little the oldest and had the most serious expression. The others, Rusty guessed, had probably come along mostly because Bessie had ordered it. He doubted the strength of their resolve. Alice was not their wife. One of the Bascoms had an ironic smile, as if he found the situation amusing in some off-center way. Instinct told Rusty that this one might bear special watching. James stepped to the edge of the porch, a rifle across his folded arms.
That's about close enough, Corey.
Rusty had been correct in assuming which was Alice's husband. Corey stopped, leaned on his saddle horn.
You know what we've come for?
You can't have her.
She's mine. We had the night tied by a sure enough preacher. Wasn't no jackleg neither. Army chaplain he was. Had the papers and everything.
Being married don't make her your property to be branded and treated like a mare. She's still a free-born American with the rights God gave us all.
Her place is with me. How I treat her is between me and her. She ain't your business anymore.
She's my sister. She'll always be my business, our business, this family's.
She belongs to my family now. And I brought him along to see that she goes back where she's supposed to be. There ain't enough of you Monahans to stop us.
Well, maybe you ain't seen everybody yet. You're just counting me and Preacher Webb. Now, you're probably thinking a preacher ain't any hand with a gun. You'd be wrong. He can knock a coyote's eye out at 100 yards. And you know my brother-in-law, Evan. That's him over on the porch of his house, carrying that shiny new shotgun.
All the Bascoms turned to look as Evan stepped away from the corner of his house, bringing the shotgun up in both hands.
Now, if you look out over yonder by the woodpile, you'll see Andy Pickard. Raised by the Comanches, he'd be mean as hell. Crack shot with a pistol or rifle. If he runs out of shells, he can get you with a bow and arrow. And finally, I want you to make the acquaintance of Rusty Shannon. That's him beside the barn yonder with a rifle. A ranger for years. Brought many a bad man and several Indians to heel in his prime, and he still ain't got enough gray hair that you'd notice it much. You still got a notion you want to tackle this family?
Corey sat rigid in the saddle, his face reddening. He said nothing. Bessie watched him, looked at James a moment, then turned back to her son.
Is that the best you can do, Corey Bascom? Sit there and let him run a bluff on us?
You better count the guns, Ma.
You all just gonna let this stand? They got a woman in yonder that rightfully belongs to your brother. Carrying his seed now, more than likely. Ain't there any shame in the lot of you?
None of the brothers moved. They could count, even if the old woman couldn't.
I'm glad your pa ain't here to see his family tuck their tails between their legs like egg-sucking hounds. If you all won't do anything, I will.
Rusty saw hesitancy in the faces of James and Webb. If one of the Bascom brothers had made this move, they would have stopped him. But though they raised their rifles, he knew they would not shoot a woman. The front door opened, and Alice stepped out holding a pistol in both hands. She aimed it at Bessie.
They won't shoot you, but I will. I got cause enough.
Better stop, Ma. She means it. This ain't worth getting killed over.
It ain't her. You can buy better than her in any dance hall from here to Arkansas. But the shame she's brought on this family... That is worth killing for.
or even getting killed.
Nothing's worth getting killed for. Not money, not pride, not even a woman. Come on, Ma. We're starting home.
Corey had to pull on the reins and forcibly turn Bessie's horse around. Not until they were 100 yards out did Rusty pause to wipe sweat from his hands onto his trousers, then rub a sleeve across his face. Andy came to meet him halfway to the house.
The Fort Griffin bartender was right. That old woman is the devil's stepmother.
You're a good judge of character.